Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I met a traveller from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read which yet survive. Stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed, and on the pedestal these words appear, 'My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away.'" Welcome to Everybody Wants to Be a Cat.
What the fuck was that?
We've seen Cats 2019. We have seen it. Jess has seen it
twice. I've seen it twice. Thanks to a very good-looking man who asked to go to the cinema.
Let's move on from that. We saw it together.
We did.
Opening night in Australia, Boxing Day, which meant that the bars weren't open when we left, which was a mistake.
No, and we wanted to drink heavily.
I mean, we already had started. I left the movie halfway through.
Oh my God, that was hilarious. Drink. I've never experienced that before in my life. Dom just turns to me. He's like, "I'm going to the bar. Do you want something?" I was like, "Yes, please get me a ginger beer."
Yeah. The bar star, I left during Grizabella's first appearance because it was like, I've heard memory before. And not only that, Tom Hooper's a hack, so I can probably, I could probably guess the shot compositions he went with for this whole scene. So I can leave now safely.
So funny. Hi everybody. Welcome back to Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. We've returned.
We said we would.
And here we are.
We were bound by our word. We regret it.
Deeply.
We shouldn't have seen it. I feel like...
Just for everybody's information, our TNC podcast family hosted a screening of Cats at the Palace Cinemas on James Street here in Brisbane. We had a really great... It's a shitty movie, but I really liked the camaraderie that was going on because, we were in a safe place and, I think I stood up at one point and was like, "What the fuck is going on? What is going on?"
Yeah, I was loud during that movie.
Yeah,
I was shouting at the screen.
We were absolutely screaming. Here we are to talk about Cats, the musical, the movie.
Is it a movie? Is it really a movie? I don't know about that.
We saw it at a cinema. I wouldn't call it a film.
No, yeah. It's... It sure is something.
So I've had the largest coffee of my entire life on an empty stomach, so I am positively vibrating at the moment.
I guess I'm three shots of coffee in at this point.
So we did an episode with podcast producer Zane a few months ago when the trailer came out because the world was horrified.
And that was was 45 minutes long, so what's this going to be like?
Yeah, right?
That trailer... People were saying at the time, the effects mustn't be finished. They'll do some more to it. They'll do tweaks in response to it. The movie is worse than the trailer. The movie is more...
Horrifying.
It's appalling.
Yeah.
Because the trailer is just like, yeah, they look as terrible in the movie as they do in the trailer, but the trailer doesn't have... It doesn't have the cockroaches and the mice and Rebel Wilson repeatedly tearing her flesh off.
So the second time that I went to the... So the second time I went to Cats, I'd had quite a few margaritas.
Good call.
I needed them. Normally, when I go to the movies, I try not to leave because I'm like, what if I miss something? And then as soon as Rebel Wilson came out, I was like, I'm going to the bathroom.
Vomit.
I'll catch you. Catch you in a second.
And that's about 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
Although it could be an hour in. Time doesn't mean much when you're watching Cats. honestly.
Let's start.
Let's start.
First off.
So it's an adaptation of the stage musical. Yeah.
So the musical based on Book of Poems by T.S. Eliot. Angelo Reba wrote this musical. It was like smash hit on the West End in New York. Like this production like keeps going on and on and on and on and on. Yep. Either people really, really like it or people really hate it. The people that have been in Cats really like it. It's a very weird time. And the thing with Cats is that is what non-musical theatre people think musical theatre is just a bunch of people in Lycra spinning around.
Like the reaction that a lot of musical theatre people have to Cats is the same sort of feeling. It's like, oh, now I understand what people who don't get musical theatre see when they see musical theatre. Like, it is terrible. The musical, like, you can like it if you want. I like some bad things myself. I rewatch some bad movies every now and again, and I unironically enjoy them. It's like, it's fine. I won't take that away from you, but it is very specific to a stage performance. What works about Cats the musical is the energy and the fact there's audience interaction and like the single set and the fact that it's sung through and there's no real plot. It's just kind of like a series of introductions from these cats and you're just kind of in their world. And it's like, yeah, you just have to hold on and try to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
And there's something to that, that a lot of people like can really find a lot of joy in.
And like, if you like it, like,
yeah,
if you like Cats, like it's not a big deal. It's fine.
I do judge you. But anyway.
No, because that's the thing. We all like some shitty stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that you can't adapt it into a movie.
No. And like, because they've done, so they filmed the original musical with the original cast, as far as I'm aware. And like, you kind of get it. Like, the lycra, the dancing, it's a spectacle, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, how are you going to translate that onto screen? Like, are you just going to get the... like, is it just going to be people dressed as cats? Are you going to CGI the cats? Oh. And it was just a bit of both. Like...
I don't think they were dressed as cats.
No. But, like, that's what it came across as, you know? Because they still had human... like characteristics, their feet were terrifying.
Their hands were just human. Their hands,
and like they hadn't been edited properly. Like people still had like rings and jewelry on.
It was so consistent. I wondered if they did that intentionally, but then why the hell would they do that intentionally?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
and then like something that Dom pointed out to me that I didn't so much notice the first like time I saw it, but the second time, like the backgrounds are really blurry.
Yeah, it's like there are points where you can, like, if you've got an eye for it, like, you look at it and go, they might be trying to do like a depth of field thing. They might be trying to have it because the environments are they're entirely CG sort of thing. Like, well, for the most part, they're entirely CG because like they've tried to have it be the environments are scaled to the cats, so they're like their cat size. They're wildly inconsistent.
Oh my god, the scale of the cats! They're giant or they're tiny.
Yep.
And then the mice and the cockroaches in comparison to the size of the cats is just
too
much.
Yeah, like that's all insane. But then you like if you look at some of the environments, just like they just seem to have lower resolution. Like there's just like there are points where genuinely it looked like a. I don't know, but like very specific references, but like a mediocre mid-2000s point-and-click adventure where all of the environments are CG rendered and you're just kind of clicking from frame to frame sort of thing, where it's just like, you know, they put that together in 6 months. They didn't have much of a budget, except this movie had
$95 million.
From $80 to $1 million budget. Like, you assume you want to err like towards the $100 million mark, considering they tried to minimalize their losses from this, because they have lost money.
They've lost
like
a bunch.
Like, it's still in theaters, so like
they've made so far like $46 million
there is Nick's the podcast cat. With Hollywood budgeting, you've got to assume like 2 to 3 times the budget is spent, the filming budget is spent on marketing and other costs. So they probably needed to make at least 200, 250 million.
Oh, yeah,
to break even. They've definitely lost.
That's the thing, just to like
even not the books have lost out. Their money. But anyway, God, it's impossible to talk about this without just being completely all over the place.
Okay, so let's pick out some horrific moments just specifically to talk about.
We can start from the beginning. Like, it begins, we are introduced to our protagonist, which the musical does not have.
No, and like, I can, props to them for actually trying to make a plot.
Sure. I don't know about, like, it has barely any more plot than the musical.
It's got a lot more, like...
Oh, it's got spoken dialogue.
It's got an arc more than the musical does. Like, there's a journey.
Mr. Mistopheles has a character arc. Oh, I wouldn't say that anyone else
does. Oh, my God. Okay, so we start off, Victoria arrives, she's, like, dumped, and then she meets all these cats, and they're all like, meow, 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 cats, 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 cats. Cats.
Jellicles 2 and Jellicles 10.
Jellicles 10, the gen of it. Yeah,
the,
right?
From the first time you see one of the cats, the first cat you see, I think, is probably... Munkerstrap, yeah.
Who is by Robbie Fairchild.
Yeah.
He single-handedly... With, like, best performance in that film.
Yeah, genuinely. Like, I'm not a musical theatre person mostly, so I had no idea who Robbie Fairchild is. But, like, at one point I just leaned over to Jess and was just like... Who is that guy? Because he's really good.
He's great.
So,
Robbie Fairchild, former principal dancer. Well, he might still be. I don't think he's like a contracted principal dancer now. But former principal dancer for the American Ballet Company.
And great singing voice as well.
Such a great singer. Did American in Paris in New York and London and in France as well. So he's amazing. Like, so great. And then you've got Francesca Hayward.
Francesca Hayward.
Yeah.
Victoria,
so playing Victoria.
Who in the musical does not have any dialogue.
No.
She is a silent character. She is just kind of a background character who at one point has a dance solo.
Yeah.
They've made her
and
the main character.
And she does a bit of singing, but not much.
I mean, yeah, she's an ensemble bit. So,
then the first, like, Jellicle you meet is...
Yes. So
Jenny Anydots, played by... Like, you know, the...
Yeah,
like,
well, we meet a bunch of, like, the cats. There's all the cats. Most of them go unnamed because, you assume, like, oh, there's probably...
But then,
like,
they're talking about making the Jellicle choice and the people that are up for the Jellicle choice.
Well, but first, before we meet Jenny Anydots, we go to a cemetery in the middle of... In the middle of London. In someone's backyard, there's a cemetery.
Yeah.
And we meet Mr. Mistopheles. He's in this version, he's very nervous. They've made him into
Like in the musical, he's like, fuck yeah, I'm Mr. Mistopheles.
Like, he's the guy that Rum Tum Tugger, like, thinks is great in the musical, whereas Rum Tum Tugger in this one has no interactions with any other character and is just kind of there. But yeah, so he's a goofy, he doesn't know how to do his magic very well. Everyone's like, what the hell is this guy's deal? And then, do we meet Jenny Anydots or do we meet... Mungo Jerry and Rumble Teaser.
No, it's Jenny Anydots
first. And this is
Rebel Wilson. This is when shit hits the fan.
You're already really upset because of the faces and the bodies and just like the fact, like, you've never seen...
You're already upset because you were there.
Yeah, like, you've never seen human beings be... You've seen naked people. You've never seen people quite seem so naked as these human cat hybrids.
Oh,
it's upsetting.
Oh my God,
and
it's Elba.
Gets worse. We'll get to that. So we meet Jenny Anydots, who in the musical and the poem... is like she's an organizer. She makes the cockroaches and the mice, she makes them work. She she stops them from being lazy.
Yes.
In this, she forces them to dance with horrified children's faces.
Yes. Okay, so the faces on the cockroaches and the mice
are so much worse than the cats.
So much worse. Like, so much worse.
Yeah. And so she forces them to dance, and then she starts.
And then Rebel Wilson like does all these like zippy, like tries to do all these like zippy one-liners, but like the shots are too long.
It's, I don't know, like it's
horrific.
I don't know how Rebel Wilson could have been doing like off the cuff, just like improvising, considering how this must have been shot. But every single one of those feels like they're just like Rebel Wilson said something almost like a joke, and they let it be in the film. Like, just like some sort of just like, oh, stop milking it. Except that it's a cutaway. Like they cut away to her. So it's like they thought that was worth having an insert shot of Rebel Wilson saying, stop milking it. Well, anyway. Jenny Anydots devours some cockroaches she's forcing to dance at the faces of children. And
that's
then
right, she eats them.
She eats them whole while they're screaming for mercy.
And then
she tears her skin off.
Oh my God, the unzipping.
She unzips her cat fur. There is no seam. She just like runs a zipper that appears out of nowhere down the front of her and it just unfolds like the
worst.
And
she's got like a purple vest on.
Yeah, underneath her fur, she's got a second layer of fur wearing a purple vest somehow.
I mean, in the musical, that doesn't seem as, it didn't seem as invasive as the film.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the musical, it's a human being wearing multiple layers of clothes, whereas in this, it's a cat who is clearly naked, just a cat, and then she tears her skin off. She just does that, and it's like that's one of the moments where I genuinely like recoiled away from the screen. I've seen horror films where I've had far less like visceral reactions to some of the stuff I saw in this.
And then next is Mungo Jerry and Rumple Teaser, which is one of my favorite moments in the musical. Like, I don't have many favorite moments in Cats, but I think that song is actually kind of fun.
It was okay. It was better than most of the songs.
It was better than most of the songs, but this is when they, like, obviously they fucked up the scale with Rebel Wilson, but they really fucked up the scale in Mungo Jerry and Rumple Teaser because, like, Victoria starts, like, putting jewelry on and they've done, like, an engagement ring, like a normal, like a human-sized ring that like fits over the paw of a cat, which is like, that's not how size works. It's just not. Also, and when she's like holding the knife and the fork.
It's just like, it's the length of her body.
And then they're bouncing on the bed and they're like the size of, I don't know.
Like children, yeah. And also, Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer are supposed to be siblings or something?
Yes, brother and sister.
So why was one of them English and the other was like Northern Irish? Ireland?
I don't know.
What's going on there?
It's just like very noticeable. There's a lot of questions.
It's just like, Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer. Just like, what's going on there, siblings? Like, I feel like the actor's name for Rumpelteazer was actually like Neve or something like that. Like,
maybe.
Yeah.
And then Rum Tum Tugger. Jason Derulo.
He didn't say it.
Wow.
He didn't say it. So Rum Tum Tugger is barely in this. I mean, I say that. He's actually in the background of a lot of scenes. He just doesn't have anything to do after really a song. No. He doesn't sing Magical Mr. Mistopheles anymore.
No.
They gave that to the ensemble and Victoria.
And they say, oh.
Anyway, we'll get to that. But Jason Derulo, he's just like singing about how great he is. But the thing is, he's not actually up for the Jellicle choice. And because she's down here, just rubbing
just
the microphone
at like Fifi. Yeah.
So Rum Tum Tugger, he's not as major a character in this version. So him having a song at all is just kind of strange now. Because like before it was like, oh yeah, he's kind of one of the main cats. He's got multiple songs. In this, he's got one song and he's not important. So why did he have one song?
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway.
The riffing was horrific and went on and on and on.
Yeah.
And then in the background, all the girl cats going like, meow.
Oh, they want Jason Derulo. They want a bit of that. We've all seen the photos. Anyway, but then like, there's a point where they go to a milk bar, which is the thing. Apparently there's a milk bar and it's just like where you just drink milk. That's not really what a milk bar usually is. And like Jason Derulo like puts some milk down and just like, yeah, lick that up.
Oh,
female cats.
Ian McKellen licking the milk.
That's later. We need to talk about... No. We need to stay on track because this could go on for literally forever. Did you not notice the bit in this where... There's just like a bowl of milk and there are like five different female cats just like licking up this white liquid and making eye contact and smiling. Just like they knew what they were doing or somehow worse, they didn't. It's the horniest movie ever, folks. Like we're not being particularly kid friendly, but you can't be talking about this movie. It's an uncomfortably horny movie. Like they are naked people with fur on them like writhing and like doing like a shimmy with their shoulders every time they move, and it's just like, why are they trying to make the like cats are grotty like little weirdos who lick themselves and I love them for it, but they're not sexual animals. Like they're the least, they're honestly like people talk about that and they're not elegant animals, so why would they think we need to make these cats sexual?
I don't know.
So So yeah, anyway, during Rum Tum Tugger's song, like Jenny Annie Dots is in the background saying Rebel Wilson things like,
"Stop milking it.
Stop milking it. Oh, I can dance like that if I want. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I can't, but you know, I could if I wanted." And it's just like, did they forget to turn that camera off? And she was just standing in front of her riffing. Oh, and then some mysterious Idris Elba appears.
Oh, that's...
Well, I
never.
And he teleports her away.
Chance would be a fine thing. Like, what the fuck? I've never seen someone look so naked with clothes on.
And then he takes the clothes off. We'll get to that.
Clothes off.
But yeah, so Idris Elba as McCavity appears and teleports.
See, the thing is, with McCavity is like,
he doesn't have lines in the musical, does
he? No, it's literally someone walking around with a head thing on that no one's actually like credited as McCavity because they're playing other characters.
Yeah, it's just like.
And then the whole thing in this show is like, in the movie, is McCavity is like stealing all the other people that are up for the Jellicle choice so that he gets picked.
We should explain the Jellicle choice, Christ.
Oh, okay. So the Jellicle choice.
I don't know if the Jellicle choice has been explained at this point because we.
So the Jellicle choice, as far as I was aware,
it's a ritual
was like
sacrifice.
It's a ritual sacrifice where a cat goes up to the moon.
Well, it sends to the Heaviside layer, which is an actual. It's a layer of the atmosphere. It is actually like I guess T.S. Eliot. Hello, Nixie. T.S. Eliot like opened an encyclopedia at some point. It was just like Heaviside layer. It's named after a scientist named Dr. Heaviside. And
I am just furious at Phoebe right now.
I am giving Phoebe so much attention, and she's loving it, and Jess is not loving it. So every year under a Jellicle moon, they haven't explained what.
What's a Jellicle moon?
I don't know. Well, wait, what is it? What's a Jellicle? Every year, the Jellicles meet under a Jellicle moon and make the Jellicle choice. What's there to be confused about?
What's
important to remember is that Jellicles do and Jellicles can. Okay? And Jellicles can and Jellicles do. There we go. So yeah, anyway, tonight is the night that the Jellicles make the Jellicle choice, which isn't very well explained, but basically they ascend to the they choose the most worthy Jellicle, and that Jellicle ascends to the Heaviside layer and is reborn in a new life. And it isn't really explained what that means, and it sounds like a ritual sacrifice, doesn't it? And that increases as the movie goes on. But there are a lot of Jellicles who want to be the Jellicle choice.
And they all want to go up in the balloon.
So yeah, anyway, McCavity appears and says something in an Idris Elba voice and kidnaps Jenny Annie Dots, and Jason Derulo does his thing for a bit. And then James Corden appears.
Yeah.
I hate him in real life, and he was worse in this.
He hasn't even seen the film, and he's like, yeah, I've heard it's not good.
A lot of the actors in it have been just... I feel bad for the ballet dancers and people in it, because like they clearly didn't know that they were being put in a bad movie. They just tried to do a good performance, and then they're all being like... I've been seeing a lot of them sharing the stuff on Twitter, because they don't have followings or anything, you know. And then the actual, like, the big-name actors of women, like, yeah, well, don't know about that, hey.
Dumb.
Yeah, bad movie. Anyway, James Corden appears as Bustopher Jones, which is a name.
Yeah.
And he jokes...
That didn't really make a lot of sense, did it?
You see, he's fat. What you need to understand about Bustopher Jones is that he is a fat cat, and he eats out of the trash, and he leads all the other cats to eat out of the trash, and that goes on for a while.
It goes on for a really long time.
And then McCavity's like, you should look in this trash can. Yeah, look in here. And Buster Jones is like licking his lips. He's like, oh, that's another trash can, is it? And he's like, yeah, look in this trash can. Yeah. And he's like, oh, he's about to fall. He's going to get in the trash. He falls in and just like falls forever into hell or something. And the visual.
And he ends up on a boat in the middle of the Thames.
Like McCavity is just teleported in the same way he teleports everyone else. But for some reason in this moment, it's like a horror movie suddenly. He just like falls in and just falls and keeps falling, and everyone around is just like, apparently didn't see McCavity for starters, despite everyone giving Buster for all the attention, and then they just move on. Don't think about him. They're just like, he was one of the five cats who was up for the Jellicle choice a moment ago, but he's gone now. And I suppose what happens next? I suppose
Bustopher
is probably, no, it's like, do they meet
Grisabella? No,
they meet Old Deuteronomy. I suppose. But like, have we gotten the order wrong? It's impossible to say.
Who cares?
But like at the moment where Victoria is like being menaced by a dog because Rumpelteazer and Monko Jerry abandoned her, Mr. Mistopheles is like, I thought you were going to miss.
So then this romance between Mistopheles and Victoria starts.
And as soon as they were getting anywhere near each other,
I don't think I've heard so many people shout at a movie screen, no!
Because there was a lot of teasing that they were going to kiss. Like a lot of times where characters lean into each other and it's like, no. Anyway.
Don't do it.
Old Deuteronomy. Old Dame Judi Dench. Not a bad, like, they gender swapped the character. Not a bad choice.
Judy, why?
She gives a bad performance. I'm not going to mince words here. Like, I don't think that she, I think that she gave her the performance she deserved, but I think that it's like she didn't give a shit.
Nah.
She was just like being a bit Judi Dench, just kind of neutrally saying all of her lines every now and again, smiling wisely and warmly because she is still Judi Dench and she knows what the people want. Does she sing? I don't even know. There's a long, long sequence in the theatre. What's the theatre called? It's like a cat name.
Egyptian.
The Egyptian theatre, yeah, because it's got the Egyptian cats and stuff. Yeah, it's in a theatre now. In the play, it's in a junkyard.
Yeah.
Now it mostly takes place in this theatre.
And then everyone starts dancing.
The dancing.
And then there were two cats that weren't Mungo Jerry and Rumble Teaser called Le Twins.
They're played by Le Twins. Who I missed, like, I mean, I didn't miss because I wasn't.
And they were wearing Converses.
Yeah, there's a lot of cats wearing shoes.
There's a lot of cats wearing a lot of clothing.
Shoes is the worst, I feel like, because that's just like, that's impossible. Le Twins are like, they're a real life, like, you know, dance duo thing. There's a lot of stuff where I watch the trailer, I'm like, I must have seen this and I don't remember it. I've forgotten so much of this, like, the images of this film. Because, like, there's shots of Le Twins.
We were pretty mad.
I wish I like, it's difficult to be drunk enough for me in a movie because, like, I snuck a bit of alcohol in and I still couldn't keep up a good level of drink because it takes a lot to get me drunk, unfortunately. It's impractical. I needed to be more drunk for this movie. Anyway, they dance for a while and at one point they all do, like, a point. They all do, like, a ballet point.
The fucking tails.
And their tails go out.
The tails!
And then they twitch.
It's so phallic. It's so gross.
The phallus shouldn't twitch like that. Nothing should twitch like that.
Should twitch like that.
Every single one of the cats just kind of freezes and their tails flicker and twitch for like 15 seconds and everyone in the theater recoiled
viscerally. We all freaked out.
And then for some reason, presumably because she's traumatized by what she's just seen, Victoria goes outside.
And then we meet Grizabella.
Memory.
Horrified for Jennifer Hudson that they didn't edit out that tear moustache snot thing.
They might have edited that in. Like, that's a very Tom Hooper thing.
That was, like, fucked up.
I feel like he's got a thing where he's just like, oh, women being very emotional, like, they must be unglamorous. So, like, he likes, like, it was the same thing with Anne Hathaway in Les Mis, where it was just, like, all snot and tears.
I dreamed a dream and time gone by.
Like, we're just doing the, like, a plot synopsis, and this is probably already half an hour long. Like, we'll get,
you
no,
know,
no, I'm like,
you
we'll get
know
to,
why you came
we,
here.
We'll get to the direction, so, like, at some point.
So, all right, Grizabella.
This is the point where I left to get more drinks. And also, like, I was so traumatized talking to the bar staff. Like, I was talking to them being like, you know, I saw Bong Joon-ho's Parasite like 2 days ago. That's a really good move. And they were like, yeah, that's really good. And it's like, and now I'm watching Cats. And I think they were so like affected by how traumatized I already was that they actually significantly undercharged me for my drink.
God bless them.
Yeah.
So yeah, Grizabella shows up. Grizabella's story, she was like a glamour cat and then she decided to fuck off with McCavity, so then no one's friends with her anymore.
Which isn't made clear in the musical.
Like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
So, and Victoria, oh, the fucking ears. We haven't talked about the ears yet.
Yeah, we'll talk about all of that. All of them have ears and they just twitch at
random.
Victoria's
like going up to Grizabella. She's like, you know, what's your story? And Grizabella, she hissed.
Yeah.
She fucking hissed.
I do like that. It's just like Victoria, just like, she's only just met all these people. And for all that she knows about these people, it's just like, well, they love to introduce themselves to each other. So
like,
I suppose.
Sing us a song.
What's your story? Sing me a 5 minute long song about how sad you are.
And Judi Dench is like watching from like an above window going like, what's this? And
with
then Grizabella like slinks away because all of the, like, the other cats go like, we don't like her. And then Grizabella comes down and she's like, Victoria. Well, she's like, who are you? I don't know you. And she's like,
you're
I'm
new.
And she's like, do you want to see me make the Jellicle choice. And she was like, can I watch you do the Jellicle choice?
Because I don't know what the Jellicle choice is yet, so I don't understand why that's
also,
not...
Also, I'm not a Jellicle. And she's like, not yet.
Bum, bum, bum.
Okay, and then what happened after that?
They go back into the theatre. Grisabella sings Memory, which is the song everyone knows for this musical. It's fine.
Memory comes later.
No, she sings... No, it's a reprise later. She sings a bit of it there, doesn't she?
No, she sings the refrain. She doesn't sing actual Memory.
I mean, sure, okay.
So...
Oh, you know what happens
next? So then the ball... It's Bomblerina.
No.
Yeah, because then she sings McCavity.
No, that's way later for starters.
No, it's not. I'm looking at the plot right now.
That plot synopsis is for a musical with no plot. You have forgotten Beautiful Ghosts.
Oh, that
there is a new
song.
There is a new song.
Sucks.
By...
It got nominated for a Golden Globe this morning. Did we all see that?
That's really funny. But then again, awards mean nothing.
It got no other awards, by the way.
Green Book won Best Picture. Like, awards mean nothing at this point. So yeah, they sing Beautiful Ghosts, which is, and Victoria specifically does, which is an original song written for this movie, co-written allegedly by Taylor Swift and Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber.
He's not a sir, is he? Is he sir? I thought he was lord.
No, he's a sir. A lord is like a political thing, I'm pretty sure. England's weird. Anyway, but you new song for this because Victoria isn't really a character. And they're in the musical.
No, it's the Lord Lloyd Webber.
Really?
The Lord Lloyd Webber.
He's a baron.
England is screwed. You know what that means? He has actual political power.
Yeah. Jesus. That's what I'm just saying. Like, I'm pretty sure he's a lord.
That's a problem, folks. England's already screwed. It's fine. So, Beautiful Ghosts, because Victoria in the musical isn't a real character. She's kind of just...
She does a very tizzy dance where she... lifts her leg up very high.
She does that in this too.
She does.
That's why they cast a principal ballet dancer. But like, so they needed to give her bits where she sings solo because she's the main character's version. So she sings an original song. And it sure does sound like an original song that was added into the musical after. Like
it
after.
Doesn't fit in with anything else.
Yeah, it's...
It really doesn't.
Yeah, it's like, it's it actually is a bit like... It's got a bit of the vibe of this is the song in the musical nobody likes. Like, it's got a bit of that.
That's a funny song.
Yeah. But Ian McKellen's bit is more that, but it's definitely a bit of a song that you forget. So I feel like Bomblerina is quite a bit later because
we
still have Ian McKellen.
Ian fucking McKellen as Gus the theatre cat.
Tears came to my eyes during Gus the Theatre Cat, not because it was a truly affecting performance, though Ian McKellen does, for some reason, give it his all.
He tried.
Tears came to my eye because I don't go to the movies often, and this is almost certainly the last time I'll see Sir Ian McKellen in a film.
And it was Cats,
and it was him. Like, we are introduced to him, like, he's just kind of in the shadows in the background being like, oh, I'm a weird old man. And then he's, like, licking milk out of a plate, or out of a bowl. And Mr. Mistopheles just like, they've decided Mr. Mistopheles is a big fan of Gus the Theatre Cat. I'm not sure if it's because Gus is supposed to be a magician. I don't know.
Well, the Gus the Theatre Cat song isn't actually sung by Gus in the musical.
No. I mean, it's barely
Gus
a song
has like
it,
a carer that like comes on.
Yeah. Yeah. So he does this this long, slow, sad song about how he's just like, oh, I'm old and silly now, but I used to be great, and I used to be great, but now
and
I'm
then
old
Mr. Mistopheles
and frail.
Has got a wand, and he like makes the thunder and the lightning.
Yeah, he makes magic happen because don't forget there's magic in this movie.
Magic.
Oh, we also forgot Skimbleshanks. Jesus, it's impossible.
No,
to remember.
Skimbleshanks is after this. Skimbleshanks is after Gus.
Is it?
Yeah.
Christ.
So Skimbleshanks.
Anyway,
holy shit.
Sorry, we just need to finish off Ian McKellen.
God, yeah.
Gus the Theatre Cat. He sings a sad song.
No one's going to listen to this, so who cares?
Yeah, that's fine. This is therapy. So Gus sings for a bit, and everyone's like, "That was great." And Judi Dench
lifted her leg up.
Judi Dench,
and I missed it.
Judi Dench scissors and lifts one leg into the air to show her
because she was in like a fucking cat bed.
She was in like a basket, yeah. And then she
and
just
she
like
lifted
she just
her fucking leg.
She scissors and lifts a leg.
And I missed it at our screening, but then when I went,
I gripped Jess's shoulder, being like, yeah.
Oh, God. That was disturbing. And then, after that is Skimbleshanks.
Skimbleshanks,
the railway car.
I have absolutely no memory of how that song goes.
Train.
But they clearly like for
quite a tap number.
Yeah, that's the
he's also wearing shoes.
Yeah, he's wearing tap shoes. There's a couple of things about this. For starters, it's where the scale in the movie breaks the most because
oh my god,
like they are now so tiny. The cats are so tiny,
and
that
then when they get into the railway carriage, they're human sized.
Yeah, like they're tiny. They're like they're walking. They're each of them walking and dancing along a single railway track.
The size.
They're the size of mice for a few shots here. Like they can comfortably stand on a railway track, and then they're in a sleeper carriage in a train, and they are in beds the size that humans would be if they were in those beds. Also, Skimbleshanks is the only cat that makes
he's wearing pants.
He's also wearing pants
and a hat,
and he's also the only Jellicle choice candidate who's just played by a dancer. I'm pretty sure he's not really played by anyone in particular, is he?
No.
He's
a very good dancer.
No, he's great, but also like it's very funny. Like at the end, it's like all of these characters are on the boat. We've got Rebel Wilson, and we've got Ian McKellen, we've got James Corden, and
Skimbleshanks.
You don't know the actor for Skimbleshanks, so he's not going to get any lines in this bit.
And then after that is McCavity.
Skimbleshanks starts twirling and twirling and twirling, and he rises into the air and
he levitated,
and then he explodes because McCavity teleported him.
Dun, dun,
when McCavity teleports people, they just explode into dust. That's important to know. Also, we forgot again at the end of Gus the Theatre Cat, like McCavity like leans out of an alleyway and it's just like, oh hello Gus, and it's just that was such a fan, and Gus is like, oh really, yes I am, would you like to come with me, McCavity? and they teleport away, and for some reason as they do that, McCavity just goes McCavity. It's the only time he's ever like so
And then the moon descends, and sexy Taylor Swift in her high-heeled shoes starts singing about McCavity.
McCavity,
there's no one like McCavity.
And she's dropping catnip on all of them, which is for some reason a golden powder instead of like the leaf that it is. Anyway,
funny.
And Rumpelteazer and Mungo Jerry are working with McCavity now, apparently, and they're also just like, they're all just dropping. Jess is distracted by trying to retrieve the cat again. They're all just dropping like this catnip, quote unquote, on everyone, and everyone's kind of going, yeah, I'm feeling it. You guys feel it? Oh my God, yeah, I'm loving this. Yeah, this nip, yeah. And this is the moment where everyone goes, oh my God, they're going to do an orgy. Because there is an orgy in the musical that is cut. Thankfully, but this is the moment where you go, oh my God, they've just moved it. We're about to see all of these horrible, barely hominid cat things have sex in front of us. And they don't, because...
Thank God.
They don't, because for some reason, this is the bit where McCavity teleports in and is singing along with Taylor Swift.
And then the staircase that magically appears,
and
he looks so naked.
So we need to talk about that. So... All of every cat, I think, just about every cat except for McCavity, played by Idris Elba, like they have like a pattern. They're spotted. They're tabby.
Yeah, whereas he is sleek.
He is the only cat whose skin tone and fur color match. So when he also wears clothes. So when he takes those clothes off, and it's
his
just
fucking legs
and you have
and feet,
many
absolutely not
many full body shots of Idris Elba. And his fur is just the same skin color as Idris Elba, and it's just Idris Elba's face, and you can see his, like, the outline of his pecs and stuff, and he's just moving, and he's lithe. It's
terrifying.
It's the most naked anyone has ever been. And you look at it, and you look at all these other cats, who up until now, like, it's not been great looking at these cat-human things, but... You know, it's you don't realize how bad it could be when you see Idris Elba naked, and then you look at them, and they are naked now, and it's grotesque, it is obscene. The human body and cats are both disgusting to you now because you have witnessed this.
Except for Fifi.
Fifi's cute. She's having a terrible time.
No, she's not. Shut up.
And then McCavity goes to Deuteronomy. It's just like...
And also, Taylor Swift's boobs change size about 5 times.
Yeah, it's weird enough that any of these cats have human sexual characteristics.
Like, because if a cat's going to have boobs, they'd have six of them.
Whereas a lot of these cats, like Jenny Annie Dots and Taylor Swift's Bombolarina, noticeably just have like human breasts. No nipples. Nobody has nipples or an anus or any genitals. Thankfully, I guess, but...
Mercifully.
Like, yeah, you just see, like, they're trying to make... Like, as over-sexualized and horny as this entire movie has been, Taylor Swift is very intentionally sexy. Or attempting to be sexy. That's not pretended sexy.
McCavity. And, like, the accent as well is very confused. It's very, like,
It's not there.
It's very transatlantic, like Katharine Hepburn in the
Well, I think she's trying to do an English accent, but Taylor Swift, she's not an actor. She can't act.
No.
She's not as bad as I kind of expected her to be, but she wasn't good. So McCavity so they've changed this for the musical as well. In the musical, this song is people making fun of McCavity, and Bombolarina is one of the people making fun of him, because Bombolarina isn't evil in the musical. And they're just making fun of him, but now it's McCavity and Bombolarina talking about how cool McCavity is now. And
it's like, I'm so sorry, you've rejected what's her name?
Grisabella.
And then they're all of a sudden like, ooh, sexy McCavity with his catnip.
They're not like that, though, because they go to Deuteronomy and
he's
just like...
Yeah, but why aren't they all like...
Because they're drugged out. They get drugged out before McCavity arrives. That's why they did that. But then McCavity walks Deuteronomy up a magical set of stairs that appeared out of nowhere and goes,
oh, yeah.
I'm the only choice left. Let's ignore the fact that it's because from your perspective, I've probably killed all of the other candidates, which, you know, it doesn't mean much because this is just a ritual sacrifice.
Jellicle choice.
And she says, You will never be the Jellicle choice. Oh, get him, Judi Dench. I don't know what that means, but I assume it was fierce, sis.
Burn.
And McCavity's like, well, in that case, I'm going to teleport you away. And he teleports her away, and we get to see where he's been teleporting everyone else. And it's on a
boat.
It's on just like a barge on the River Thames. And all the other characters are tied up in
chains.
And
then there's, remember his like helper cat?
Yeah, who...
Ground Tiger?
Growl Tiger. Who isn't actually a character in the original like that. He's a character in the play that they do in the original. But here we go, Growl Tiger. Who plays him again? It's Robbie,
I don't know.
Robbie Coltrane? Is it who?
No, surely not.
Hold on. Who's Growl Tiger? I'm looking this... Growl Tiger. Ray Winston, that's right. I recognized him. Ray Winston. He does those sorts of characters, you know. He's a very, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. He's mostly known for his hard man roles, beginning with his role as Carlin in the 1979 movie Scum. That gives you the sort of idea. It's the sort of
Growl Tiger.
That's Growl Tiger. But so yeah, and McCavity's just like, well, because you won't sacrifice me to the cat gods and kill me, because for some reason this powerful magical teleporting cat really wants to, like, even if you don't say, oh, he wants to be sacrificed and killed, he wants to be reborn. Why does he want to be reborn? He's powerful. He has more magic than any other cat. Like, anyway, and he's just like, well, if you're not going to make me the Jellicle choice, I'm going to force you to walk the plank and drown you. And so it's just like, yeah, she's walking her towards the towards the edge of the boat. And it's like, oh, she's going to die. And then we cut back to the Egyptian.
Oh, God. And everybody's like,
what do we do?
And then Francesca Haywood's like, so, Mistopheles.
Boy.
Gonna need you to magic back Deuteronomy. He's like, I can't do it. I can't.
It's like, you made lightning happen.
So then she starts like, it's like the musical theater equivalent of like a slow clap.
Oh, well.
I never was there ever a cat so clever as magical Mr. Mistopheles. Da-da-da-da-da. And then he tries and he fails.
And then everyone's like, we need to all be behind him. And they do it again. And he fails again. And they go... And they do it again, and he fails again, and it's like, oh, we really have failed. She is going to die. And then Francesca Victoria from behind everyone is like,
I never was there ever.
I don't even
a
know
cat so clever as magic. And like this is
and
when
then everyone
in the cinema,
joins in again.
We all were like,
oh yeah,
singing it.
I was so broken by this point. I had had multiple mental breakdowns at this point. I was fully into singing this terrible song about a magical cat named Mr. Mistopheles. I was singing along. And everyone's like, oh, has it worked? Oh, it hasn't worked. And then from behind everyone, we don't even get to see her coming.
Oh, well, I never was there ever a cat so clever as magical Mr. Mistopheles.
She's back.
She's back. Judi Dench is back.
Judi Dench is back, everyone. He didn't teleport the rest of the cats on the barge back, who were presumably still in mortal peril. Also, I guess... like, this is taking a long time. They repeat that thing, like, 5 times.
That timeline, and it's, like, obviously been, like, 3 seconds on the barge.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's literally almost 10 minutes. Oh, and, sorry, I forgot. Rum Tum Tugger is in the background of some of these shots. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, just reacting.
He's just there sometimes. It's just like, God, I hope they pay Jason Derulo well. I don't care about him or his music, but it's just, like, he's just kind of there in a lot of these shots for some reason. So, she's back, and everyone's like... McCavity is defeated, and we're all just supposed to be like, oh, he is, I guess. And then on the barge, he takes Bombalurina and he's like, I'm not finished yet, and teleports. We never see Bombalurina again.
No.
We literally, like, he reappears later. Bombalurina.
She got splinched.
Yeah, my theory is, like, he fucked up slightly because, like, he's been teleporting a lot. She's now, like, half in and half out of a wall somewhere, dying slowly. And after they teleport away, Rebel Wilson is like, I know how I can save all of us. And she unzips her skin a second time. And underneath the skin with the vest, she's just got regular skin again. And for some reason, unzipping her skin allows her to get out of her chains. And
that's right.
Yeah. And then all of the cats...
And then, oh my God, when they're swinging the chain around.
And because it's Rebel Wilson, she hits herself
in the face
with it. And it's just like, oh yeah, I forgot that this character was played by Rebel Wilson and is therefore clumsy. That is the character.
Oh, God.
And they force Ray Winston into the sea, into the Thames, where he presumably drowns.
Because he's a cat.
Yep. And it's just like this triumph moment. Like, it's the big action climax that they've, like, I feel like they replaced, like, a scene from, there's kind of an action-y sort of scene at some point in the play that's not in this version, but they've replaced it with this. For some reason, like, we're like watching Jenny Annie Dots, Buster for Jones, Gus the Theatre Cat, and oh, I guess Skimble Shanks is here too. They force Growl Tiger into the Thames, like, yay! And we're all just like, how are you getting off this boat?
Cut back to the Egyptian,
and
then Grisabella comes back, then she sings Memory.
Yeah, Victoria's just like, I know, I'm gonna
sing
go
sing us
and
a
grab-
song, sing us a song, and you're, be the Jellicle Choice.
You're the piano man. And she's... Memory.
Touch me. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's all of...
And then Judi Dench, like, crawls over. Not crawls, she, like...
She sashays over.
With her coat on, because obviously...
And her wedding ring.
Yeah, and she says, you are the Jellicle Choice. And then she gets in the chandelier,
yep,
which somehow gets a balloon attached to it.
Yep, I guess. I think.
Don't know when that happened.
Yeah, Mr. Mistopheles' magic. Let's say it's that. And there's a chandelier with a balloon attached. They put her in that. She flies away into the
and
morning
then
sunlight.
McCavity tries to, like.
He teleports in.
And is on the thing. He's like, I am the Jellicle Choice.
He grabs the, for some reason, despite being a teleporter, he teleports in where he grabs the rope trailing behind the chandelier instead of teleporting into the basket, and then, like, loses grip and falls, lands atop Nelson's column, and, like, the last we see of him is him going, ah, no, and I'm just like,
I am not being sacrificed to the sun cat gods.
And it's like, why don't you teleport again? The movie is just like, ah, he is trapped atop Nelson's column and will therefore die of exposure.
Then the most intrusive moments I've ever experienced on screen. So all the cats are like dancing in Trafalgar Square and then...
The captive cats are... Somehow they got off the barge and they're back now. It's fine.
They're back. It's fine. So there's Mistopheles, Dame Judi Dench, Victoria...
Monkstrap. They're like the four of them.
They're all sitting on top of this... lion statue, right? And then Judi Dench breaks the fourth wall and talks directly to the audience.
And tells us about how we know...
Because a cat is not a dog.
Yeah, she talks at length about how we now understand what a jellicle is. And everyone in the theatre is screaming, no, we don't. What you must understand is that cats are not
dogs.
Because there's music playing and she's almost speaking in time with it in some way.
Sometimes.
And she's not, but it's like...
Oh,
they needed to pretend this was a musical.
Honestly.
And then, yeah.
I honestly wanted to crawl out of my skin. Like, it was so funny. So then the second time when I went, I was sitting next to the person I was with.
Sorry, we need to... Let's finish. Like, we've got one more thing. Like, all the other cats are like, well, I'm leaving now to go home to my owner, I guess. And
yeah, because they've all got collars on.
Yeah, a lot of them have collars. And then Deuteronomy turns to Victoria, who's the only one left, and she's like, You truly are
a jellicle cat.
I thought she said angelical, and I'm like, is this a subspecies? I don't understand. But like, maybe, yeah, just like, you truly are a jellicle cat. The end.
Where does she go? What happens next?
Yeah, like, she's still a stray. I guess some of the other cats might be strays. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, you could just...
Then the necking between Mistopheles and Victoria was...
They sure do. They are humans.
They fucking neck.
They almost kiss, but then they also do cat affection stuff. They don't sniff each other's bums, though. That's a nice thing.
So, yeah, when I went and saw it the second time, the person I was with, I don't think I've ever seen someone, like, so traumatized and scared when he was like, Judy Dench is looking at me. She's... talking about cats not being dogs. I was like, I know, we're going to get through this. It's going to be fine. So that was Cats. Horrifying.
Tom Hooper is a bad director. He's won an Oscar he's a bad director. He did The King's Speech. He did Les Mis. He did The Danish Girl. None of those are terrible movies.
No.
The direction in all of them is very bad. He has gotten by...
He's been really lucky because he's had really good actors in his movies.
He's had really good actors elevating the material just consistently. And this is the point where the scales are going to fall from people's eyes and be like, look, people are going to re-examine his old films. Because The King's Speech... you can see a lot of The King's Speech and Les Mis in this, where it's like there are completely unmotivated choices being made in like the shot compositions and the edits and the staging of things where... Like, there were so many points in The King's Speech where... Like, two characters were just, like, in the bottom left of frame with heaps of negative space. And it's like, you're supposed to do that sort of thing and have there be a meaning behind it to the characters, but there isn't. He just thought, this will look interesting. And that's all through this. There's just, like, Dutch tilts and stuff like that all over the place.
Look, I don't think they should have done it in the first place.
No.
But they also just rushed it and it was really messy and clunky and really bad casting choices and... I don't know, like, would it have been better if it was just... I feel like it would have been scarier if they were actual cats.
I don't even know if, like, can... Well, what's the... Did they rush it? When did it... Like, there's been a lot of attempts at this point.
So basically also, like, Dom and I also saw the original cut of it before, like, further edits had been made to the film.
Apparently, yeah.
So now there's, the newer version has been put into cinemas.
I don't even know what the differences are. They kind of done much. Also, so like they began casting in 2018. So I don't think that...
But that's a pretty quick turnaround for a film.
Yeah, especially... Oh, I imagine like they filmed it in December, started in December 2018 and ended on the 2nd of April. So
that's...
There are some...
Really quick.
I mean, yeah, there were CG artists on this that probably didn't see their family for a year. They were just like... They would have been crunching so hard on this nonsense. But then they also, like, it's not like they didn't put a lot of money into it. I mean, I imagine a lot of that went to a couple of the cast members, but it's like still 90 to 100 or 80 to 100, whatever. That's a huge amount of money to spend on a movie that it looks really bad apart from anything else. It doesn't have it doesn't even have like a big scale or anything. Like, it's kind of, I don't understand.
I don't really understand where the choice came from to be like, you know what? Let's make a movie of cats. Like,
well, it's been trying to be happen for a long time. It's one of those things, like, since the 90s, people have been trying to do it. And then everyone goes, oh, wait.
It's cats.
This is terrible. But it's like, it's a movie. It's made, like, hundreds of billions of dollars at this point. They can't not try to adapt it. They shouldn't have. But also, it's like, it has actually backfired because it's not, they are losing money on it. But it's like...
Could you imagine what the casting would have been like in the 90s? Like Shania Twain or something as Grizabella. Like, ooh.
Winona Ryder would have been in there somewhere.
Oh, my.
Oh, well, I God. Never.
So, yeah, we're traumatized. Capped off the nightmare that was 2019 for me.
Yeah.
As I said in an Instagram story, like, had my heart broken about 5 or 6 times last year, but still, Cats was worse.
I am unemployed and, like, people aren't getting back to me when I express my interest in working with them, but Cats was worse.
Cats was worse.
It could be. From now on, that's going to be like a mantra. It's just like, I could be watching Cats.
So, yeah.
I feel like there's so much we haven't even got. Like, it's breathtaking. It's one of those things, like, and they did a recording of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know afterwards, and, like, I went down, like, just, like, anyone in the audience want to come and grab the microphone? And I did, and, like, one of the things I said was just, like, I was genuinely having, like, a solipsistic moment watching, like, because I'm just, like, I can't reconcile, like, a logical universe existing and having this movie in it, so I'm just, like, I genuinely just, like, I feel less certain of my own existence.
Yeah, like, how am I existing in a world where
not like
that exists? Like, that's really fucked up.
$100 million on this. Like, the world's on fire. World War III starting. Cats 2019. It's hard to believe.
It's hard to fathom. So we hope this has been enjoyable. It made me question my love of Cats as well, which I didn't really like.
Oh, yeah. I got, like, there's a couple of things. Like, I got home. I walked a long way home. Like, I couldn't.
Walked?
Yeah.
You fucking weirdo.
Like, yeah, I was like, yeah, I don't live near to the theater that we saw it at. I probably walked for like an hour. I just needed to walk. And I, like, for starters, like, I saw, for some reason, in the middle of the city on the way home, I saw like a pillowcase on the ground with just like a lump in it. I'm just like, Victoria? Like, that was a real thing that happened, like, to around King
George.
There
wasn't a cat in there, was there?
I didn't check, but I'm just like, there's this pillowcase with something in it. I'm just like, it's not moving, but I'll hold on. I'll get you the photo.
Yeah.
That, I just saw that in King George Square. I'm just like, is this a Jellicle? And I'm saying,
about to find out who the Jellicle choice is?
Oh, God, I hope it's me.
sacrifice me to the cat gods.
Please.
I've suffered enough.
But I got home and I was just staring at my cat, thinking about Rebel Wilson's tearing her skin off.
It was, I have to say, a little bit more enjoyable the second time because I was a lot drunker.
That would help.
And I knew what was coming, so I was able to, and like watching someone else watch Cats was possibly one of the funniest things. Like, it just watching the horror on his face was so funny. Also, the fact that a boy was like, hi, do you want to come and see Cats with me? I was like...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, actually. You were upset that he didn't want to go home with you afterwards. It's like, he just watched Cats, Jess. You really need to be more understanding that the man had just seen Cats.
I can't believe you just said that on the podcast.
No one's listening. Also, I couldn't remember which parts you'd said on the show. Because we've been talking for like 45 minutes.
Oh, well. Well, thanks so much for joining us talking about Cats. We've disturbed Zane's whole day by coming over and just being like, hi, can we come over and just like vent about Cats?
I mean, we saw it on Boxing Day and it's taken us 2 weeks to talk about it just because need to dig. It's like, this is the last of the Cats hot takes. Everyone else has already talked about it. Everyone who's going to see it has probably seen it. Although I do want to say there are people who are being like, it's not as bad as everyone's saying.
Like, and it's you're a goddamn liar.
I know. Like, I've generally...
You're a goddamn fucking liar.
I've seen people, even on my timeline, being like, you know what? I didn't mind. I think that it's better than people are saying.
Fuck off.
And, like, I already didn't respect those people for other reasons.
And now
I've got more reason.
So cool. Thanks for listening, guys. Won't tell you to plug the socials because this podcast doesn't exist anymore.
This is a one-off that no one's listening to.
But thanks so much. Cats or not.
Yep, see you when they release Cats 2. Bumble Arena's Revenge.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.